News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Rain has wreaked havoc in Uttarakhand, where 34 people have been killed so far since Monday, said Chief Minister Pushkar Singh Dhami, adding that 5 people still remain missing. The CM has announced Rs 4 lakh compensation for the families of the deceased and Rs 1.9 lakh to those who lost their houses. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said he was anguished by the loss of lives due to heavy rainfall in parts of Uttarakhand. May the injured recover soon. Rescue operations are underway to help those affected. I pray for everyone's safety and well-being, he tweeted. The inclement weather has left a trail of devastation from places such as Ramgarh's Tala remaining underwater to people missing in Nainital, which has been cut off from the rest of the state as 3 key roads leading to the popular tourist hub remain blocked due to a series of landslides. Some reports said that the Badrinath Highway had been blocked in Chamoli district on Monday due to falling debris following heavy rainfall. The authorities advised Chardham pilgrims not to proceed to the Himalayan temples till the weather improves. In Lansdowne, the labourers were staying in a tent at some Kalinpori district when rubble flowing down from a field above due to the rains buried them alive, District Magistrate Vijay Kumar Jogdande said. They had been engaged in a hotel construction work in the area. The injured were admitted to the Kotdwar Base Hospital, he said. Meanwhile, Chardham pilgrims who arrived in Haridwar and Rishikesh by Sunday have been asked not to proceed further till the weather improves, while operation of vehicles for the Himalayan temples has been suspended temporarily. Passenger vehicles are not being allowed to cross the Chandrabhaga Bridge, Tapovan, Lakshman Jhula and Munikireti Bhadrakali barriers in Rishikesh. Chief Minister Pushkar Singh Dhami visited the State Disaster Control Room at the Secretariat to take weather updates and know the conditions of roads and highways. He appealed to the pilgrims to defer their journey for 2 days until the weather normalizes. They are staying in safe locations spread across Haridwar, Rishikesh, Srinagar, Tehri, Uttarkashi, Rudraprayag, Guptkashi, Ukhimath, Karnaprayag, Joshimath and Pandukeshwar. Union Home Minister Amit Shah spoke to Dhami on the phone to get an update on precautionary steps being taken by the state government in view of the heavy rain alert and assured him of all possible help. Putting all speculation to rest, former Chief Minister of Punjab, Captain Amrinder Singh, on Tuesday said that he will soon announce the launch of his own political party, adding that he is also open to forming an alliance with the BJP for the 2022 Punjab Assembly elections. In a tweet, Amrinder's political advisor quoted the former Punjab CM as saying, "The battle for Punjab's future is on. We'll soon announce the launch of my own political party to serve the interests of Punjab and its people, including our farmers, who have been fighting for their survival for over a year." He then went on to add, hopeful of a seat arrangement with BJP in 2022 Punjab Assembly polls if farmers' protest is resolved in farmers' interest. Also looking at alliance with like-minded parties such as Breakaway Akali groups, particularly Dhinsa and Brahmapura factions. This comes a month after Amrinder stepped down from the top post citing humiliation following an acrimonious power struggle with Punjab MLA Navjot Singh Sidhu, who was appointed as the state Congress president. In a series of tweets, Amrinder also said that he won't rest until he secures the future of my people and my state, stating that Punjab needs political stability and protection from internal and external threats. Amrinder said, "I promise my people I will do what it takes to ensure its peace and security, which is today at stake." The 79-year-old, one of the Congress's powerful regional satraps, had met Union Home Minister Amit Shah last month at the latter's residence in Delhi, setting the political circles abuzz with rumours of him joining the BJP. At the time, sources close to Amrinder had said that all his options were open. Sources in the Saffron Party had told CNN News 18 at the time that the party was keen to work with the captain, but a resolution needs to be reached over the farmers' protests. The recent attacks against Hindus in Bangladesh are not a communal issue but a conspiracy to malign the country's image, its Home Minister Asaduzzaman Khan said on Tuesday, adding that investigators were pursuing leads and would soon apprehend the conspirators. Speaking to News 18 over the phone from Dhaka, Khan said, the Sheikh Hasina-led Awami League government will take stern action against those behind the heinous conspiracy. At least 6 people have died in the attacks against Hindus in some of the worst such unrest for over a decade in the country. The violence began on Friday when a Facebook Live allegedly showed a blasphemous incident at a Durga Puja Pandal in Komila city, sparking protests. Several Hindu religious sites have been vandalized and homes attacked. Authorities have filed 71 cases in connection with the violence and have so far arrested 450 suspected culprits. We condemn such incidents during Durga Puja in Bangladesh. It has never happened before, as people celebrate all festivals here with joy and happiness. Why it happened suddenly is a matter of concern, Khan told News 18. We have got several leads and all of them point towards a conspiracy to malign the image of Bangladesh. I would like to clarify that we are going to take stern action against anyone who is behind the heinous conspiracy. In a day or two, things will be clear as we manage to dig out some leads and the conspirators behind it, the Bangladesh Home Minister added. Communal tensions have long simmered in Bangladesh, whose constitution designates Islam as the state religion but also upholds the principle of secularism. Hindus make up around 10% of the population. Several Awami League leaders have blamed the violence on the opposition Bangladesh Nationalist Party and its ally Jamaat-e-Islami, citing the national elections in 2023. Cautious on the speculation, Khan said, it is too early to make such comments, but we are not ruling out anything till we hunt down the key conspirators. As per investigation leads, it was not a communal issue, but a pre-planned one by some miscreants. This was not the handiwork of people belonging to any religious group, but it is a conspiracy by people who don't want Bangladesh to grow. Khan, however, added that the government has also sought social media giant Facebook's cooperation in the investigation. We have found that such propaganda mostly originates from America and England. Asked if he has had a conversation with Indian counterpart Amit Shah on the issue, Khan said it is Bangladesh's internal matter. It is our internal matter. If India wants to know anything, we will certainly inform them through proper diplomatic channels. So far, no one has asked anything regarding this matter. All I can say is that the situation is under control, as we have arrested hundreds of people behind the incident. In the last 24 hours, we have arrested more than 70 people, Khan said. Power shortages are turning out street lights and shutting down factories in China. The poor in Brazil are choosing between paying for food or electricity. German corn and wheat farmers can't find fertilizer made using natural gas, and fears are rising that Europe will have to ration electricity if it is a cold winter. The world is gripped by an energy crunch, a fierce squeeze on some of the key markets for natural gas, oil and other fuels that keep the global economy running and the lights and heat on in homes. Heading into winter, that has meant higher utility bills, more expensive products, and growing concern about how energy-consuming Europe and China will recover from the pandemic. Rising energy costs are another pressure point on businesses and consumers, already feeling the pinch of higher prices from supply chain and labor constraints. The biggest squeeze is on natural gas in Europe, which imports 90% of its supply, largely from Russia, and where prices have risen to 5 times what they were at the start of the year, to 95 euros from about 19 euros per megawatt per hour. It is hitting the Italian food chain hard, with methane prices expected to increase sixfold and push up the cost of drying grains. That could eventually raise the price of bread and pasta at supermarkets. But meat and dairy aisles are more vulnerable, as beef and dairy farmers are forced to pay more for grain to feed their animals and pass the cost along to customers. From October, we are starting to suffer a lot, said Valentino Mioto of the IRIS Association that represents the grain sector. Analysts blame a confluence of events for the gas crunch. Demand rose sharply as the economy rebounded from the pandemic. A cold winter depleted reserves. Then the summer was less windy than usual, so wind turbines didn't generate as much energy as expected. Europe's chief supplier, Russia's Gazprom, held back extra summer supplies beyond its long-term contracts to fill reserves at home for winter. China's electricity demand has come roaring back, vacuuming up limited supplies of liquid natural gas, which moves by ship, not pipeline. There also are limited facilities to export natural gas from the United States. Costlier natural gas has even pushed up oil prices because some power generators in Asia can switch from using gas to oil-based products. US crude is over $83 per barrel, the highest in 7 years, while international benchmark Brent is around $85. With oil cartel, OPEC and allied countries cautious about restoring production cuts made during the pandemic. The crunch is likely short-term, but it is difficult to say how long higher fuel prices will last, said Claudia Kempfert, an energy economics expert at the German Institute for Economic Research in Berlin. But the long-term answer that has to be taken out of this is to invest in renewables and energy saving, she said. The European Union's Executive Commission urged member nations last week to speed up approvals for renewable energy projects like wind and solar, saying the clean energy transition is the best insurance against price shocks in the future and needs to be accelerated. In the meantime, some gas-dependent European industries are throttling back production. German chemical companies BASF and SKW Pisteritz have cut output of ammonia, a key ingredient in fertilizer. Likewise, in Italy, the cost of energy to process wheat and corn is expected to go up more than 600% for the 3 months ending December 31, according to the Grain Association. That includes turning wheat into flour and corn into feed for cows and pigs. High energy prices also seep into bread and pasta production through transport costs and electricity use, which could eventually affect store prices. Dairy and meat sections are especially exposed because prices are low now and farmers may be forced to pass along the higher cost of animal feed to shoppers. People worldwide also are facing higher utility bills this winter, including in the US, where officials have warned home heating prices could jump as much as 54%. Governments in Spain, France, Italy, and Greece have announced measures to help low-income households, while the European Union has urged similar aid. Much depends on the weather. Europe's gas reserves, usually replenished in summer, are at unusually low levels. A cold winter in both Europe and Asia would risk European storage levels dropping to zero, says Massimo Di Odorado at research firm Wood Mackenzie. That would leave Europe dependent on additional natural gas from a just-completed Russian pipeline, or on Russian willingness to send more through pipelines across Ukraine. But the new Nord Stream 2 pipeline has not passed regulatory approval in Europe and may not be contributing gas until next year. Russian suppliers' decision to sell less gas on spot markets reflects an intention to put pressure on the early certification of Nord Stream 2, said Kempfert, the energy economics expert. In China, outages have followed high prices for coal and gas as electric companies power down amid limits in passing costs to customers or government orders to stay under emission thresholds. Factories in Jiangsu province, northwest of Shanghai, and Zhejiang in the southeast shut down in mid-September, and dozens warned deliveries might be delayed ahead of the Christmas shopping season. China's gas imports have jumped, but surging demand in Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan also helped push up global prices, said Jenny Yang, research manager for the Gas, Power, and Energy Futures team for China at IHS Markit. In Brazil, higher gas and oil prices have been compounded by the worst drought in 91 years, which has left hydropower plants unable to supply electricity and more expensive bills. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.